Close out this session tonight. So some of the things that we spoke about already, I may say again, but it doesn't matter. It's a new episode or whatever. But one of the reasons why, while I was looking through the internet and different people's opinion on things and talking to people at work and just out in the public, they said it's low self-esteem. That's why they stay in bad relationships. Another one was fear of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one, because some people do fear being lonely. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that low self-esteem and fear of loneliness works hand in hand. And the reason why I think that is because if the person that you're with is abusive verbally, if you have low self-esteem, he can make you think, or she can make you think, if I leave you, ain't nobody else gonna want you because you got low self-esteem. So that's why I think both of those things work hand in hand with each other. Now, when it comes to the fear of loneliness, why do you think a person would be afraid of being lonely?
I think we all, at some point, if you're coming into an older age and you are not already married or in a committed relationship or, you know, settled down with someone, I think it is a natural feeling to start to think about, this isn't what you wanted your life to be down the line. Nobody wants to be old and alone. And the older you get, you know, the more you settle down in different areas of your life and you want someone to share that with, or just to share your day with in general.
I don't think everybody thinks like that.
Everybody doesn't think like that. What happens though is everybody feels like that at some point in their life. I don't know one person. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, just like we talked about exceptions to the rule in terms of thinking before, there are exceptions to the rule where some people are okay with that, but most people at some point expect, even if they're not worried about it right now, they know there's a point in their life where they don't want to be old and alone. That's real.
And I think you're raised that way too. Absolutely. To be with someone else, to be partnered with someone else. Mm-hmm. But also I feel like it is almost like a reflection of yourself. If nobody wants to be with you, then that can play on your own self-worth and value as a person. Like, why does no one deem me good enough to partner with me or want to share time with me?
And I think it depends on personality. I mean, I very much am I'm into me. Okay? I'm into myself. I can spend time with myself. Yeah. We've had conversations where I'm like, maybe I like myself too much. Like, I'm just not, like, I don't want to be, you know, because sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't want to be so comfortable with myself and being in my little space, in my zone, where because I'm okay with it doesn't mean that that's the way I want to live out my life, like from now until, you know, the end of my time here.
Because you can be happy and content with yourself.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean that you don't want someone to share that with, that you don't want those moments to have with someone else.
Yeah. And if you're a person who doesn't feel that way, it's okay if you feel like you just want to be by yourself.
Right.
But then we go back to the bad relationship conversation. Be honest and be that, if that's who you are. If you want to be by yourself, if you're happy with being by yourself, if you're not really into having a relationship because you like your time alone and you like your space and everything else, be good enough at who you are and how you present yourself to others that you can portray that type of honesty with someone and saying, you know, I want somebody I can kick it with.
Right.
When I feel like kicking it.
Right.
But I'm not into having a long-term relationship. I'm not looking to come and, you know, us split these bills together.
Right.
I'm not looking to settle down. I'm not, just say
put your intentions out there.
Put it out there and be who you are.
And sometimes in being alone, you need to be alone because you need to fix you. You need to do your own self-work. Yeah. And I think a lot of times people come out and they disturb your peace because they're still damaged. And it's like, no, you go fix you. Don't try to project your problems onto me and make me feel like it's me.
And if you need to be alone, be that. It doesn't mean like being alone.
Hold that thought too. Continue, but keep, don't forget you were talking about that.
Being alone and not being in a committed relationship doesn't mean that you cannot date. Depends on how upstanding of a person you are. Are you good enough to say what it is, mean what you say and say what you mean? Because you can have a conversation with a grown ass woman and say, listen, I've been through X, Y, and Z. I'm not in a position where I feel like I'm ready for a full blown relationship. This is what I want. I want to hang out. I want to, you know, is everybody going to go for that? Absolutely not.
Right.
However, you don't have to be the asshole either. You don't have to be the person that portrays yourself and puts yourself out there to be one thing when you're something totally different. There's enough women that'll settle for that right there.
Right.
There's enough of them out there that will settle for that and are okay with that because maybe that's where they are in life. Or maybe they have low self-esteem. Or maybe, I mean, there's a million scenarios and circumstances where that will be okay. But when we talk about why people stay in bad relationships and part of it is the lies that come along with it when you know you're not really trying to be in a relationship that has growth and movement and progression to it. And most people, I'm not even talking about just men, I mean most people in general are not honest enough with themselves and with the other person in the situation to say just that.
And I would also say that if someone is being honest with you, know what you can handle. Don't get into something when you know like, oh, well, I can change his mind or whatever. No, if someone's telling you we are just, you know, kicking it,
right,
then stay at that level. Don't try to make them or force them into a relationship that they don't want. You need to be the master of your own emotions. And if you can't control that, then understand that like you can be curbed.
And ask questions. If you are at a point where you know what you want, don't be afraid to say, listen, I hear what you're saying, but are we talking a relationship? Are we talking like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, like ask the question, because it's a whole lot easier to ask the question up front, even if, because there's no guarantee when you ask the question that you're not going to get lied to.
Right.
But there is something to be said for knowing that you put it out there and that you ask that question so that when it comes time where someone's moving differently than what they put out there and what they said it was to begin with, now you know how to move accordingly as well. You know? I don't believe that everybody wants to be with someone at the end of life or going through life, you know, getting older and everything else. There are people who that's not an issue. That's not a priority for them. That's not what they want. But there's a great amount of people who don't want to come home by themselves to themselves every single night. I mean, it gets redundant. It gets boring. Right. It gets to the point where it's like, I love, you know, this and I'm having a good time with just me. But like, sometimes it gets to the point where you have to check yourself. I've had to check myself before where I'm like, I got my glass of wine, I got the shows, I'm home from work, my bills are paid, hey, I'm living it up, like I feel good, but like, that's not the completeness of who I am. I want more than that. Mm-hmm. Like I know what it is to have more than that. And that's another thing too. I mean, it goes further. When you know what it is to have more than just you, you usually are not just content with just you. When you know what it is to have more than just you the right way, you're mm-hmm. usually not just okay with just you.
Right.
Because if you have someone who truly highlights who you are, accentuates who you are, who actually complements your life, mm-hmm. and you really know what that is, mm-hmm. you realize that you're kind of settling sometimes when you're just by yourself.
Okay, so let me say this. So let's say a person that has great self-esteem, mm-hmm. they don't struggle with any of that stuff like that. They know who they are, they know their worth, they know what they bring to the table, excuse me, and everything like that. And then somebody else comes along and everything flourishes even more, you know, with that person. I think that the person becomes an extension of who you are instead of an addition. Because if you're in an addition, that means I need you to be more of who I already know I am. I think if you already are actualized in yourself, you know who you are, you know, like I just said, your worth, everything like that. When a person comes along in the right way, and they bond with you, is an extension of who you already knew you were and what you already knew that you could become.
I think there's such a small amount of people that know that type of love, and that's what true love should be and should look like. Mm. And I think, at least in the experiences I've had a lot of times, what I bring to the table, the table I own, okay, so let's just call that what it is. All right, the table I own.
I'm bringing nothing.
The chairs the man brings in. Okay? He can bring in the chairs, but I own the table.
Right, okay?
If I'm just being honest, I feel like he didn't know how to function in a relationship where someone could run the same speed with him or with the removal of him. And that played into his ego, which played into the demise of our relationship. I think when you realize that a person is the extension of you and that you are a partnership, that it doesn't matter who brings what, because together it's yours as a collective. Absolutely. And I feel like men are so... they're raised from, you know, small kids that you're the provider, you're the hunter, you're the this, and they have this role that they keep trying to fulfill. Well, women have caught up in a lot of ways and things have changed to where now they have just as much value to bring. And the value that I bring shouldn't shrink the person that you are.
Now.
Absolutely.
This is a whole nother topic.
Oh man, she's about to call up.
So,
I'm going to say to you that this conversation is very specific to what you want in life and how you view relationships and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I bring this whole table,
mm-hmm.
and I can eat at this bitch alone anytime.
Right.
But that's not what I want.
Right.
I don't know what woman out there is. I am woman, hear me roar, independent.
Right.
I'm not getting that much out of independence.
Right.
Yes, I can do it, but I don't want to do that. Yeah. That's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the end result.
Right.
I'm also very much a person that believes in men being what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Are there women out there that make more or that are doing it by themselves? That's all great. Mm-hmm. However, I am going to say that while I hold down my household and I pay my bills and I have my own and I don't need you to do it, I am very much the person that wants and am very clear about the fact that my goal is to be in a relationship where I can be the submissive.
Oh yeah.
Because every day I work in a position where I work with nothing but men. Mm-hmm. I have to be very dominant every single day. I don't want to do that when I come home.
Right.
I don't want that.
You shouldn't have to.
I don't think because you contribute equally
means that I have to be just as dominant as you. It doesn't mean that I can't let you lead. I'm gonna ask you, like, come on, lead this, but you have to show me you can for me to fall in line with that. You can't just be in a role and get that.
What I want is for someone that I want to be in a set of circumstances where, and partially because I have a very dominant personality. Okay, I have a very dominant personality.
Some may say.
So part of me wants to, I'm always in the mindset that, you know this, I need to be with somebody that I don't want you to put your hands on me.
Right.
Like, don't take this. Yeah. I'm not saying this literally, this is figuratively speaking. But I want to feel like you might yoke me up a little bit. Like, you might check me. From, you know, like, don't let me walk all over you because I can't.
Right.
And I know that's not attractive. And it's not attractive to me that you are just going with the flow of anything that I say and anything that I do and everything else. And I'm not going to just do that because I'm not a horrible person.
Right.
But I mean, I might get out of line. Might happen. And I don't want to feel like, you know, there's not a man. And and that, again, goes to there. Like, I want there to be a man of my household. And as the man of my household, there's a certain amount of respect that that commands.
Right.
And there's a certain amount of respect that I need to give to that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you need to make sure that you can handle that level of respect before I just hand it out to you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because in the event that you are gone tomorrow, I can pull up to this table of my own and eat very well.
Right.
Right.
Alone.
Now, let me speak for the men, because I know they waiting for me to speak. So
take your moment.
Over Winfrey session. y'all bring the table. Yeah, I understand that y'all bring the whole table. We bring the house, though. You know what I mean? When so you could put the table in that month. Anyway. Yeah. We're not going to do that. So check this out. So when a man knows he's a man, even if he makes less than you, which we was talking about earlier, whatever, even if he makes less than you, the teamwork thing you talked about, it don't matter if he makes less than you. If you respect him as a man, and he knows he's a man, and he respects you as his lady, that's just more income. You could be making $500,000 a year. Let's say he's making $75,000. Mm-hmm. Now y'all make $575,000 a year. It ain't, oh, you only make $75,000 or whatever. Right. And the problem is with a lot of relationships, and I'm going to come from the male perspective of it, women beat down men so bad that they don't even want to be with black women. And that's just a real, real thing right there. That's why you see a lot of black guys with white women or different women that's not in our culture or whatever like that. Because of that, they've been beat down so many times by black women. Dad, you don't got this. You don't know how to do this. You don't know how to do this. Ain't nobody trying to hear that.
Well,
hold up. Now, like I was saying, if a man is a man, that conversation doesn't, even if you said that, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, he's going to know how to defend himself because he's a man. But a woman that's a woman wouldn't even talk to her man like that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, there's certain things, there's certain lines that you shouldn't cross. There's certain, but that goes back to knowing the type of what do you want. Because I'm very clear on what I want and how I want, you know, my life to be. You need to, I want you to be able to command that level of respect and deserve that level of respect. That has nothing to do with finances. That has nothing to do with what your paycheck looks like. That has nothing to do with what type of job you have. That has to do with the man that you are and whether or not you command that level of respect. I don't care if I'm making $100,000 a year and you are working at McDonald's. If you are the man I chose, you need to act accordingly.
Right.
You need to put yourself in a position as the man in order for me to be able to give you that level of respect and for me to be able to look at you in that light. Personally, I refuse to stay in a situation where I don't respect a man because I know it's going to get ugly.
Absolutely, right.
It's going to get ugly.
If I have to get to the point where I'm drinking,
it's the point where,
it's not because
then I'm being
toxic.
Your
mouth is vicious.
Yeah. But it's the same thing with men too. Listen.
I just need to let you know.
It's the same thing with men too. We cannot be in a relationship and we don't respect the woman.
Right.
If you don't have respect for your woman, there's no way in the world you can be in a relationship with her. There's no way. No,
but I think that has to go to what do you tolerate? What are your expectations of people? Like, you can see those things pretty early on. Like, this is a person that doesn't respect me. This is a person that's not matching me. This is a person that has
good
the potential.
People stay in bad relationships.
You know, and that's the part you have to say, when am I willing to walk away?
Right.
And ultimately, the breakdown or the issue is the lack of communication and the lack of honesty. Because most of the time, there's a situation where you know you don't respect this person, but you're just gonna stay to get whatever you can get out of it. Whether it be money, whether it be sexual, whether it be whatever the case may be, you're staying because you can get what you can get at that moment, knowing you don't respect that person, and you're not gonna have that conversation, the hard conversation. Part of the problem is that most people are not ready to have that hard conversation. So unless you're with a person who knows what they want and is not for the bullshit,
right?
Because the person who's not for the bullshit is out.
Yeah, pull up.
One false move and you're out.
I will let you know.
One false move and you're out. You know, but if you're not with that person and you're playing this game, like, you know, you're in something knowing you don't respect this person or knowing that you don't plan to have anything with them because you don't see them in that light or you're not taking it as serious or whatever the case may be, people aren't honest in those type of circumstances, which is part of what goes into people staying in bad relationships when they don't know it's really a bad relationship. They don't know because they weren't told, I don't like this. You do this and I'm not staying for that. I would never marry a person who does X, Y, and Z. Meanwhile, you over here thinking that you might be planning a wedding next year. And realistically,
they don't
you're never planning a wedding. It's never happened. Because people aren't honest and upfront about the things that they want, what they're, you know, not going to settle for even. And, you know, and really it's selfishness that allows that to happen.
I would rather you hurt me with the truth than to hurt me with the lie.
The last time we was here, what was it, last week?
The week before, whatever.
You said you weren't worth it, you were convenient. That's exactly what it was. People are convenient for other people for a moment. You know what I'm saying? And so when that convenience is going on, they doing this, doing that. Like you said, I'm thinking I'm planning for a wedding. This person is like, I ain't marrying her. What the heck she think? What she talking about? Whatever. Convenience. You know, so a lot of times I think people stay with other people for out of convenience. That's a very good point. So much to the point where I named one of my broadcast that for the future. Maybe y'all can be part of that too. Might be a larger discussion or whatever. But I went on the internet and I had saw some things, and they were saying, what are some things that people can do to better relationships? And I wanted to talk about this later, but because we're talking about what we're talking about now, it's probably the better time to do it. And this is what they said, and then I'm gonna tell y'all what I said, because I didn't agree with all of these, but some of them was okay. So they said attention, affection, appreciation, acceptance, and allowing. That was their 5 A's to a relationship working. And some of those are good. I think attention was one of them that was really good for a relationship to work. If you don't pay attention to your spouse or to your significant other, it's disaster. But what I said was communication, honesty, teamwork, compromise, and consistency. I think those are very, very key elements to, and of course, God comes before everything. But I think that's the ones that I stated was way more effective than the ones that were stated, the 5 A's.
Those, I believe, I agree with all of that. There is something that in certain people, it is important enough.
Hey, y'all.
Intimacy needs to be part of that.
Now, hold up, Belisi. Before you go into that, hold up. Before you go into that, I'm talking about the basic, like, and that could be a basic too.
Sorry, she.
That's a basic too. But I'm talking about, like, just, see, I can't. Because in anything I say, you're going to be like, yeah, that's in general too. And you're absolutely right. Intimacy, so I can put intimacy in that lineup too. Intimacy definitely is important, because if your intimacy life is zero, is no way that the relationship could work. It's no way.
I mean, I just feel like if you come with all that and it all looks good, and it all of that is going on, but we fail in the net department,
so here you go. So watch this. Watch this. So watch this. So the list that I put, intimacy falls under communication, because if he's not meeting your if he's not meeting your need, you communicate that.
That can happen, right?
Yeah.
And you communicate that, and it still don't happen.
Okay, now that's something else. That's something else.
Okay, all right.
That's something else. But I'm saying communication is what allows the individual, whether male or female, to know that they're not meeting the need. If y'all not communicating, nobody's never going to know.
I agree.
So that's why I put communication in there, and I would put intimacy underneath communication.
Communication goes first. You're right.
Absolutely.
The intimacy is
huge. Huge. Absolutely. Humongous. Absolutely.
Okay. We're
going to move on.
Okay, Jackie Joyner. We know you out.
let's move. So another reason why people stay in bad relationships is because they think that their partner will eventually change.
You have people like that.
Yeah. So some people think, you know, yeah, he's like that, or he's like this, he'll change, or he'll do this different, he'll do that different. So you wait around for the grand finale of him changing, and then before you know it, you've been in a relationship with him for 17 years, and he's never changed. If anything, he or she has added more baggage onto what you was already dealing with.
Right. And I'm not gonna say people can't change, because we all evolve, right?
Yeah.
It's all timing, but you have to want to change, and that has to be your own personal, this is what I'm going to do because I want to do different, or because I see what my actions are hurting another person and I love them so much that I want to shift my behavior. But if you're just holding on to somebody and you think, oh, well, one day they'll change. I mean, you could hold on to hope, smoke, whatever, but the chances are it's not going to change the way you want.
I think in for me, I feel like I look at people and I feel like what I have in front of me right now, could I live with that? Because they may never change. This is who they are. If I love you even when I don't like you, that's a go. Because it's going to be some times I don't like you. And I don't like what you're doing or who you may have become in that day or that moment or whatever it is you're dealing with. But like, if you are, you need to be able to say, can I love this person even when I don't like them? Because if that's the case, you're not worried about changing him or her.
I love people and I'm like, I love you now even though I don't like you, but I can't deal with your insecurities or I can't deal with a certain aspect, so I'm gonna have to go. And it's not even a angry feeling or emotion, it's like I just have to cut ties with that because that's not helping me grow. And that's not for
me. I agree. I just feel like though, when I say that, I guess maybe that's a broad way of saying it. I'm saying like, this person I love to death.
Right.
And like, I've checked the boxes of the things that are important. So these things that are over here that aren't checked or that maybe they fall short of, it does, like, I want to work on that together, but it's not a matter of make or breaking our relationship.
Right.
Because in spite of those things that I don't like, I love you. Like, and I love who you are as a person. Right. I like all these things over here because I don't think anybody's perfect.
Right.
And I don't think any relationship is perfect. There's a couple things that I might not like about you. But if I love you enough, like, and not love you enough, like I'm gonna love you so much that, you know, that's gonna become obsolete. But like, I know that that has nothing to do with your character, the person you are, the person you are to me, the things that matter. Maybe I don't like your shoes, you know? Your shoe game sucks.
Your teeth.
You know? Maybe I don't like your, maybe you got a bald spot or something, like, you know?
Maybe there's shady. I tell you. Wow.
Oh my God. Right.
Maybe there's a little something, but like, it's not something that overshadows everything.
Right.
That I can deal with, listen, but you can't go and
overshadow.
Listen, we ain't.
That ball spot.
We not gonna go on the ball spot. Listen, all right, listen. Stop, y'all. Cause y'all, that's what happens when you interview two best friends. It's crazy. All right, so here's another reason why good people stay in bad relationships, and this is one that I like. Ashamed to say that it didn't work. Because, you know, you haven't met anybody that said, like, oh, yeah, I'm staying with him. Oh, he's this, he's that. And they stayed with him, and it just didn't work. It's like, oh, my God. Now you got to deal with the fact that it didn't work. Everybody that said, I told you so. Everybody that said, you should have never been with him. Everybody that said, he's not good for you or whatever like that. Now you have to deal with that. Some people may stay in a bad relationship just for the sake of ego. Ego, and that's a real thing right there.
I've never had that.
No, but it's real. It's
but
real.
I believe it happens.
Yeah,
I mean, I understand that that's something that happens. I'm the first to be on the phone, like, girl, what the fuck was wrong with me?
Thank you.
But sometimes, moving on, like, I don't.
Sometimes that actuality doesn't happen after you've been broken up. It has to be a time that you've been separated from that person for you to finally see, like, oh my God, I'm glad I'm away from this person. Because when you first break up, you'd be like, oh my God, I miss them. I miss her.
Well, yeah, goodness. You get used to things.
But yeah, but then as time progresses, you're like, woo, I'm so glad I'm out of that. Because at the time, you still had that heart connection. But when it's been time away from the person, you can say,
I think what I've hated is having to keep telling the story. I feel like when other people feel more emotionally invested in something, and I'm like, I'm just not with that dude. Like, it didn't work out. There's no E-True Hollywood for you. There's no story to gossip, none of that. I think when people make it about themselves is when I have tried to avoid the conversation. I feel like even in my marriage ending, it wasn't a case, it was more that I felt like I failed and I didn't like that. And that felt weird because I was always the golden child, right? Crystal, oh, you don't have kids yet? That's fine, because you traveling, you're working, you're making the money, you just bought a house, you know, you're doing all these things, you're checking all these boxes, that's fine. And I felt like when that was over, I was like, I failed in a box. Wow. I don't do that. You know, and for me, that
living
was
living up to a standard that everybody else had.
Exactly. And that wasn't what drew me to the man or had me marry him. Yeah. But like for that to end, it was something that like I felt very vulnerable to have to be exposed in that way.
Yeah.
Because I don't take those big chances, those big opportunities with my life and not think them through.
Wow. That's deep. Because when I was married for 10 years, and my mother and my father, they've been together since they was 14. The only two people I ever seen together.
Right.
So for me to fail at a marriage and get a divorce, that was like, dang, did I just like break something up? Like, because I saw my mom and my dad together forever and they didn't break up. And her mom and dad never broke up. But me and her broke up. So I was like, dang, what did I do? Did I introduce something into the bloodline or whatever like that? It just felt weird, like you said. So I was always like, oh my goodness, if I ever get married again, there's so many things that I want to do different. Look at myself inwardly. What could you do to be a better person in a marriage? You know, for your woman, for your lady, how you respect her in the marriage and everything like that. I got married in my 20s.
Right.
And I thought I knew everything. My mother told me, you don't know nothing. You say they're getting married in your little PB 20s and everything. You think you know everything. And guess what? When I look back over everything, I didn't know enough.
Right.
I thought I did, but I didn't know enough. I didn't have an arsenal of experience and knowledge and maturity to be in a marriage.
Right.
Even though I thought I did. And so I failed at it. You know what I'm saying? So I can definitely understand where you're coming from with that. But, you know, with everything we're talking about, is different avenues that you go through, is different doors that you go through. And it creates who you are, you know, and you really don't know what you're going to submit to or what you're going to allow hurt you until it happens.
Right.
And it's a specific person at a specific time that comes into your life. And you don't know that A, B, and C is about to happen. But when it happens, a lot of times we ain't even prepared for it.
Right.
You know, and it goes all the way back to the beginning where we were talking about people with low self-esteem. You don't know that this person is about to knock you down lower than you already are.
Right.
Because low self-esteem, you're not born with low self-esteem. You're not born with it. Right. That's an adapted trait that you get over time. You could be in preschool, first grade, second grade, third grade. Since you was a kid, people was teasing you, laughing at you. Look at your nose. Look at your ears. Look at, one of your lip is black or whatever like that. And you grow up with that. Low self-esteem starts because of what you hear and what you allow to go into your filter. And it hasn't filtered out. You know what I'm saying? And so when you get into relationships and you meet this guy or this woman, oh my goodness, finally somebody loves me. And then boom, you get hit with what you was hit with in your childhood. Man, that blow is so hard.
Right. But I don't always think that has to do with low self-esteem all the time. Like sometimes you can just vibe with somebody so well and really like fall head over heels. And when you think in hindsight, you're like, nah, that dude did me a little dirty. Like, I hung on to him, like, longer than I should have. If this was my girlfriend telling me, like, oh, he's just throwing steaks in the cart and not coming out of his wallet at the cash register, I might say something. But, you know, right? But, you know, just certain things like that. There's things we've all been foolish over. When you think about it, like, I stayed in that too long, or now he is the bar to what I will no longer allow someone to do in my life. And it doesn't always relate back or tie back to low self-esteem. It could just be like, I was blinded by love and I was a little nutty at that moment.
You speak, Alicia is speechless.
You was not. I'm not staying on that one.
Because that wasn't
the thing.
No.
Here's the question. This is a good question, y'all, all right? Is it okay to endure pain in the name of love? Now, hear what I just said. Is it okay to endure pain in the name of love? Now, and this is why the question is so good. Because we always say, oh, I love you. You love for better, for worse, mm-hmm. richer, for poor, the whole joint. We done said the vows and all that stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to endure pain in the name of love?
I mean, you say endure.
All right, so check this out. I'm going to use my mother mm-hmm. was with my father, since I was telling you, since mm-hmm. she was 14. She'd been through a lot of stuff with him, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. She stayed with him because you. I think you said something the other week about the vow. Mm-hmm. She honored the vow yeah. so much. My mother loved him so much and honored the vow so much that she endured the pain, even though it was probably a few times she could have just rolled mm-hmm. and said, nigga, forget you, whatever like that. So at what point...
No.
Like, you understand what I'm saying? No. Y'all understand the question, though?
The answer is yeah. no.
No, to you, no. Alisa. Listen, because you're a renegade, no. rebel,
no. No, straight it's savage. Not even that. It's not even that. It's not that. It doesn't mean you can't go through hardships together, but if you're going through them by yourself,
there is no us. If I'm enduring the pain and it's mm-hmm. just me mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with us, that's not of love. That is not of something that I'm supposed to be in. And vows or no vows, no.
Okay, but it's not just you going through it. It is a us. So the pain that you're feeling mm-hmm. is a direct reflection of the person that you're with.
Doing what though? What are you doing to cause this pain? Why am I in pain?
It's yeah, called, I think it depends on
yeah, the pain.
But it's, called, but it's causing the us to separate.
Except that you have to give some type of, in order to answer that question honestly, mm-hmm. there has to be some type of foundation or background mm-hmm. as to where the pain is coming from.
Right.
Because if you causing me that pain mm-hmm. and it's because of your selfishness or something that you're doing, the mm-hmm. answer is no. Mm-hmm. Fuck a vow. Mm-hmm. I know.
Right.
It's
but
that
if you're
simple.
Going off to if you were in the military and now you're going off the war yeah, and I gotta be without you.
Right. Well, that's pain. A different kind of pain.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Pain. Like we're talking like you can't just say pain. You have to be a little more specific in where this pain is stemming.
Well, we're talking about why good people stay in bad relationships. So the pain obviously is from a bad relationship.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
In that case.
So underneath that umbrella.
Usually okay. in a bad relationship, there's one person that's suffering and there's another person that's really not. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens. Are there some situations where that's not the case? Where there's maybe that person is... has dealt with some childhood trauma and they are suffering underneath the surface, yeah. but one person is usually causing the other person the pain. Mm. Even if the reason behind them causing that other person the pain is something that happened to them that stemmed from way back when or whatever, that's not my problem, dog. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a grown ass man and we're in a relationship, it is not my job to... It's not my job to be your punching bag through what you went through mm-hmm. as a kid.
It is not my job to be here to suffer because you are dealing with past issues or whatever. Get your shit together and come holler at me then. Because absolutely not. I was not made to sit in it. I wasn't made to be in it. I wasn't made to be. And if we teach our daughters and sons that way, it'd be a whole lot less of this right here. Because I refuse. I don't have that in me. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't brought up that way. Right. Like, I know that I was brought up in a good foundation, and my parents, I mean, you know, I got a little bit of beef with them with some things, but they're good parents and everything else. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, I wasn't taught that that's like that I'm worth less and that I'm supposed to settle for that. So if you have some things that are going on with you in your childhood, guess what? You're not prepared to be in a relationship. Don't be in one. It's that simple. That
goes back to the it's be that alone. Simple.
Be do by your yourself. Work. Do your do what you need to do. Do what you need to do to get yourself okay so that you can be the right way in a relationship because see
and that's being responsible.
Exactly.
To be honest, because after my marriage and I got separated and was filing for divorce, I went directly into therapy. The weekend after he moved out, I was in therapy because I didn't want to be one of those hurt people that hurt people. I didn't want to be someone who you do something that triggers me and now I'm being the toxic person or I'm being the abusive person because of what I feel like he's done to me emotionally. So I feel like that it goes full circle. Like, take care of you first, heal yourself. Make sure that you're not a toxic person. And we all have triggers. Like, you're never going to, you change with your vibration, right? Like, sometimes you're high and then sometimes you can always go back to being low, but you have to be able to self-soothe and heal yourself and be able to communicate and have that dialogue where you can say, this is how you're triggering me right now. You know, and I want to be a happy person, but you're about to flip that.
And you don't know that until you know yourself and you've been able to recognize what those triggers are, recognize what those issues are, even if they are something that stem from childhood. I believe that there's a lot of people that experience things in their childhood that really stick with them as they get older and they don't know how to be any different. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't inflict that on someone else. There's nothing wrong with you saying, this is where I am and I need to work through this. But when you get selfish with it and you are like, you know, trying to be in a relationships and you are not prepared for those relationships, when you have children in that, when you have marriages in that, and you literally were not even whole within yourself, but now you've married someone and you're messing with their life, and or you've had children and now you're supposed to be able to nurture and grow a child and you don't even know any better. That's on you. Yeah. That's your responsibility, and I will never be the person that takes responsibility for that.
Right.
If you come to me and you have a conversation with me about something that was a childhood issue with you, I feel like I would be the person that can have that conversation because I know what I'm working with and I know what I'm dealing with. And I know that you have some things that you need to work through. So, you know, we're not on the fast track if that's what it requires. But what you're not going to do is come to me, you know, with a box with a pretty bow and try to have a relationship and label that. And I'm supposed to be you. And you're not even right within yourself. Because to me, the minute I find that out, you are no longer a trustworthy person to me. You've now lied to me. You have now put me in a position where I signed up for A and I'm getting Z.
Right.
because you got some other stuff that we never even talked about, we never even went
through. But some people don't know, and they're lying to themselves.
And that's fine, mm-hmm. except that at some point, I really believe that people, like, you gotta pay attention to, have you had a whole lot of bad relationships?
You should pay attention. A lot of people don't. And a lot of people don't take accountability to what they've contributed.
Well, let's start with downfall.
All right, listen. We got 5 minutes. Listen, y'all. We got 5 minutes left. Listen, one of the last things I want to say is I think one of the reasons why good people stay in bad relationships is because of physical abuse. And that's real. You know what I mean? There's a lot of women, especially, that are in relationships with a bad dude and are scared to get out of it. Because they're being physically abused. You know what I mean? And that is a real thing in every community across the globe, period. You know what I'm saying? And it's something I don't think a lot of people talk about. It's something that I don't think people are comfortable talking about, because a lot of people come from families where the dad abused the mom. And then as a man, he abused his girlfriend or whatever, or his child, because of what they saw. You know what I'm saying? So everything that we were talking about is great, but I think one of the main reasons is because of that abuse piece. You know what I'm saying? How do you comfort, or what can you possibly say to a woman that may be in an abusive relationship, like a physically abusive relationship? And we have literally 3 minutes left. So be brief. Like, do you have any advice? Is there anything you say? Like,
I would tell her to get out. I mean, obviously she's not going to do it until she's ready, but have a plan and execute on it.
Yeah.
You know, you only have one life. You don't have time to waste with someone that doesn't want to cherish
you. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
I think find someone that you trust enough to be totally honest about your situation with.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I feel like women in that situation aren't, they're not strong enough in that moment to get out on their own.
Mm.
But somebody needs to know what you're going through, and somebody needs to know what you're in, so that in, you know, crunch time, ninth hour, there's an issue, something's going on, someone else knows what's up.
Absolutely. Good. This has been a great episode, the third episode of Knox Landing with Crystal and Alicia. Thank you so much. Listen, if you are going through any type of domestic violence or verbal or whatever like that, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Here's a quote for you. Don't downgrade your dream just to fit your reality. Upgrade your conviction to match your destiny. I'm G Fort Knox. Be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Peace. Say bye, y'all.
Bye.
Why y'all sound like a set of bookings?
I don't know.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
See y'all later. Peace.